Please turn to Isaiah 55, verse 10. Father, in Jesus' name, we give you this time, we give you this word, we give you our vocal cords, all that we do and say, Lord, we just give it all to you. May this sermon glorify you and edify your church in Jesus' name. Amen. I've been preaching this verse for 3 weeks, and it's just hanging on to me. There's so much in this verse that God wants me to get, and so I just keep getting. Okay, we're going to do verse 10 and 11. Can we do that? Okay, we're going to do 10 and 11. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but they water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Everybody got that in your mind? Rain, snow equals food, right? Right? So shall my word be. In other words, he's saying, that's like my word. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void or empty, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I have sent it. Let me share something with you. We as Christians have got a wrong thought pattern, and I'm not sure where it came from, but we have a wrong, incorrect thought pattern that tries to rise up every once in a while, and we think maybe God will, maybe God won't. We pray about something and, well, I hope God heard that prayer. We pray about something and, well, you know, well, I hope this works out. You know, things aren't working for a few days and you go and you say, sister, would you please pray with me about this? I prayed the other day and it's just not happening yet. Could you pray? And pray really hard. Let me share something with you. Praying hard don't get it. Praying in faith is what gets it. But when God speaks his word and declares something is, let me back up a little. If he declares something was and declares that something is and declares that something shall be, that's the way it's going to happen. It may or may not happen in your lifetime because the word of God is always prophetic. And there's still things he has spoken to be that are yet to be. Come on. But we have to come to a place where we are convinced and satisfied in our hearts that whatever God says, that is it. Lord, help me get this into the right words. I'm struggling for vocabulary because there's so much in this verse that declares the substantialness and the faithfulness and the always there-ness and the always truthfulness of our God. Now, if you're an English teacher, please forgive me. You see, God said it would be like this, and it is. Everything God's word has ever spoken will come to pass. Not one of God's words will fail. When it's all said and done, and we're 28 billion light years from now, and no, that's distance. When we're 28 billion years from now, and God adds it all up, and he says, you know, everything worked except this one phrase. It just didn't work. It just never happened. No, what God said is going to happen. Oh, Lord, help us. Please go to Numbers 23:19. Number 23:19, and we'll do 23, verse 19 and 20, I believe. Are we ready? Okay, we're going to read this. God is not a man that he should lie. Everybody say, God don't lie. Nor the son of man that he should repent. He don't repent. He has said... Has he said and will he not do it? Or has he spoken and will he not make it good? Come on. Verse 20, the prophet here speaking and he says, behold, I've received a commandment from God to bless. And God is blessed and I can't reverse it. I don't care how good of a prophet you are, you can't reverse the word of God. There's certain things and certain people and certain events that God has blessed. And I don't care how good you are at being a doomsday prophet, you can't reverse what God has blessed. It ain't going to happen. Everybody say, God is always right. His word will always triumph. Amen. They're preaching with me, Reuben. God's word is always the last word. Now, if you're a married man, you know what that means. And you know who gets the last word. She started to throw something at me. God's word's always the last word. You can argue with God if you want to, but he gets the last word. You can make excuses if you want to, but he gets the last word. His word will always prosper and present or increase. In our text, it said that God's word would prosper in the thing he sent it for. No failure in God's word. It's all prosper. Now, prosper to me is increase. And the reason God's word has to increase when he sends it out, the reason it has to prosper is because his word is creative. And the very nature of the creator is to bring forth increase. Let's go to Numbers 11:23. And the Lord said to Moses, the Jews shall have big noses. Oh, wait a minute. Let me get this right here. I got you awake now, right? No punt against the Jews. I'm one of them. And the Lord said to Moses, has the Lord's arm been shortened? Now you shall see whether what I say will happen to you or not. God and Moses, they're having a discussion. And Moses is downhearted because he's pastor of a million people. And God says, is my arm too short? I said I'm going to take care of them. Is my arm too short? I said I'd get them through the Red Sea. You think my arm's too short? I said I'd give them water and bread in the wilderness. You think my arm's too short? Come on, Moses, check it out. Get your measuring stick out and see if my arm's too short, Moses. And then he says to Moses, now you're going to see whether it's going to happen or not. I can say to you right now what God said to Moses. You're going to see whether he said it and it happens or not. He said it, whether it happens or not. You're going to see that. You're going to see whether it happens or not. And if he said it, it's going to happen. I want to build your confidence today that God's word is true. His word is life-giving. His word is his faith in manifestation. God's word is his faith in manifestation. You know God has faith? He is faith. He's the source of faith. He's the force of faith. How y'all? Can you hear me over there? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? God's word is his very faith, and it's his faith in manifestation. His word, God's word, is the source and the force of all life. I'm telling you, we have to get the revelation that his word is going to do what his word intends to do. Our infinite, incomprehensible God creates with his word in order to give us a glimpse of himself. God says, Reuben, I want you to see me. I want you to have a glimpse of who I am, what I'm like, what my very character, my personality. I want you to catch a glimpse of your God. And so he sends his word, and that word begins to create. Go to the next verse there, Lucy, please. I believe we're in Romans, what, 1:20? For since the creation of the world, his, God's invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Creation is a manifestation of the word of God. And he did that so we could see him. Why do you think there's such an all-out attack by the devil against nature? It's because nature is the manifestation of God's word. All the beauty of nature, the pretty flowers, the oceans, the fish, the animals, the trees. I mean, the list goes on, right? That, in all of its beauty, of the creation in all its beauty, is the very manifestation of God's word. And that's why the devil is down on it. Down with the devil, up with God. God's word is a presentation of his will. Let's go to Romans 46, 9 through 11. No, Isaiah 46. What did I say? Don't do what I say, do what I mean. Is that so? Isaiah 46, verses 9, 10, and 11. Are you ready for this? Everybody say, I'm ready. Remember the former things of old. For I am God, and there is no other. You might say, well, I hear there's a lot of gods. Yeah, and they all are spelt with a small case G. There's only one God with the big G, large case G. That's the real God. And you say, well, which one's the real one? The one that has a son named Jesus Christ. If somebody's God does not have a son named Jesus Christ, that somebody is worshiping a false God. That's the simple test right there. I am God, there is no other. I am God, there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning. You see, he's the end of all things, and he's also the beginning of all things, and he's the beginning of all things, and he's the end of all things. And so he can declare the end from the beginning. Only God's word has that capacity. He can declare from the ancient things that are not yet done. You see, God, like I said, God's word is prophetic. And he can declare what is not yet done. But it's going to do, and it's going to be as he declares it. I like the last part of this verse 10. My counsel shall stand. My counsel shall stand. You can count on God's word. And then he says in the last part of verse 10, God says, I'll do all my pleasure. Evidently, the word of God is the pleasure of God. He takes pleasure in his word. And bringing it down to be a little more personal, he takes pleasure when we repeat his word. You repeat the word of God in any given situation. And he said, what did I hear? You repeat his word. And he said, huh? You repeat his word. And he said, now you're talking. He loves his word. I'm telling you, God loves his word. God loves his word so much. He said, you got to hear this. He loves his word so much, Reuben. He said, Reuben, read it again. Read it again. I want you to get this. Come on, read it again. He loves his word, man. He's nuts about it. He loves his word. Are you still with me? Are we in verse 11 yet? Okay, the first part, we're just going to kind of run through. Calling a bird of prey from the east, the man who executes my counsel from a far country. See, God can do all that. But then watch this in the last part of that verse. God says, indeed, I have spoken it. Huh? God says, indeed, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have proposed it or purposed it, and I will also do it. Well, this is God talking, guys. How many have ever stood on a verse that declares victory for your children? Well, just keep standing. It's going to happen. The prophet Isaiah was repeating the word of the Lord, and it said, great will be the peace of all your children. I've laid hold of that for my children, my children's children, my children's children, 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 for 1,000 generations. I've laid hold of that so many times, I've almost wore it out. Great shall be the peace of my children because God said so. Oh, well, you don't know what this kid's doing. It don't matter what this kid's doing. He's going to end up in Peaceville. He's going to end up in Peaceville. She's going to end up in Peaceville. Oh, don't you just love that? I've spoken it. I'll bring it to pass. I've proposed it. I will also do it. You need to mark that in your Bible. Great big purple letters. Where am I? Habakkuk. Anybody here? Habakkuk. Oh, I love saying that in Spanish. It sounds so cute. Habakkuk. Habakkuk or something. That's why you got me. Have a kook. We have a kook for a pastor. That's all. I don't care what you call me. Just call me when it's time to eat. Habakkuk 2:3. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak. It will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry forever, I will add. When God sets a vision in your heart and life, it will be fulfilled. Instead of trying to do everything your way, you just will throw up your arms and say, I give up, God, I want to do it your way. Because he knows the right way, he knows how to get it fast. Now look at verse 14, Habakkuk 2:14. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Why do we read that? Why do we read that? Because we just read that the vision is written down, and it may wait a while, but hang in there. It's going to come to pass. And I brought this verse up as an example of the many promises that are out there that we are waiting for. But take heart, my friend. You don't have to wait forever. You just have to wait for a season. And when things are right and you are right and God's ready, whatever the vision is, it will come to pass. Everybody's happy. God's word is his promise. You ever make a promise to anyone? You ever break a promise? Well, you don't talk about it, don't raise your hand. Promises are not made to be broken. Promises are made to be kept. If you can't keep the promise, don't make it. God says in one scripture, he says, it's better not to vow if you're not going to keep it. You know, a vow is like a promise. Amen? Look at 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord's not slack concerning his promise. Huh? Everybody still here? The Lord's not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but he's long-suffering towards us and not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He is in the middle of that verse. He's long-suffering towards us. You can put it like it. He is patient with us because he doesn't want you to fail. He is patient with you because he doesn't want you to give up. He is patient with you because he doesn't want you to come to a bad end. He is patient with you because he doesn't want you to die and go to hell. He's patient with you because it's his will that you make it. We could use a little of this God kind of patience with our children. Are we still there? God is faithful. 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful. 1 Corinthians 1:9. Did we already do that one? No, here it is. Everybody say, God is faithful. And this faithful God is by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. See, what it's saying here is that you're called into fellowship with the Lord, and God's faithful to see it happen. He's calling us into fellowship, and he's going to make sure it happens. He's calling us into faith to fellowship, and he's not going to give up until we're all in the same ship with him. See, that's what fellowship is. It's two fellows in the same ship going the same way. And God's called us into fellowship, and once we all get in the ship together, it's going to be God's going to see to it that we all get in the same ship. Well, I don't know. See, that's where the problem comes in when we yell, but God. Yell, but the Word. Yell, but Scripture. We need to get rid of the yell, buts. We even need to get rid of the God cans. God can, God can, God can. The devil knows God can. You're not making any progress repeating God can do this and God can do that. Well, the devil knows that. It's time to start finding out the will of God and say, God will, God will, God will, God will, God will. It's going to happen. His Word will perform and complete us. Look at Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, we also, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, and by the way, you'll find this cloud of witnesses in the previous chapter in front of this, but don't go there now. We're surrounded by the cloud of witnesses, the people that are saints of old that have gone on before us. So let us lay aside every weight and lay aside the sin that so easily ensnares us, and let's run with endurance the race that is set before us. And let's look unto Jesus. Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Too many of us, too many times, we believe God's the author of our faith, but we've got these question marks about whether or not he's the finisher of our faith. Get rid of the question marks and begin to declare the truth that says, he's the finisher of my faith. Declare unto one another, he's the finisher of your faith. He doesn't, you know, my daddy taught me many years ago, he said, don't start something you cannot finish. Your daddy ever say that? Don't start something you cannot finish. Everybody's daddy says that, right? It's a daddy thing. Maybe mama thing. I don't know. Did mama say that? Jesus is the author of my faith, and Jesus is the finisher of my faith. That's it. His Word is designed to persuade us and convince us and assure us. There's way too much doubt in people's hearts when they read the Word of God. We got to get rid of that, guys. We got to dump the doubt. What God says is what God means, and what God means is what's going to happen. And his Word is designed to persuade us and convince us and assure us. And the more we fill our memory banks with his Word, the more convinced we will be that this Word works. You could take this book away from me. You could take this book away from Jasmine. But you can't take away the truth of this Word. You can't take the truth of this Word out of my heart. And you can't take it out of Jasmine's heart. You can't take it out of Bill and Connie's heart. You can't take it out of Reuben's. Look at 1 Timothy 1:12. And I thank God. Is that 1 Timothy? Let me look this up. Maybe I'm all wet. 1 Timothy, no, 2 Timothy. That's why, Lucy, I messed up. It's 2 Timothy 1:12. First mistake I've ever made in this last 30 minutes. I'm glad there's only two Timothys. That way I have a 50-50 chance of getting it right. Can you go ahead and bring it up, or is it? Okay, everybody has a Bible on your lap. We're going to read 2 Timothy 1:12. Are you ready? For this reason, I also suffer these things. Paul's talking here about his life and what he's going through. And he says, nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. And Paul goes on to say, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed to him until that day. Okay, everybody didn't hear that, so I want us to do it again. And everybody that wasn't listening real good, I want you to listen real good this time. Okay? I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he's able to keep that I've committed to him until that day. Paul said, I'm persuaded. You see, you can't take that away from Paul because he's persuaded. You can't unpersuade him. He's persuaded, set in concrete. I am persuaded that God's going to take care of me in everything that I've committed unto him. He's going to take care of me and every child I have committed unto him. The book of Ephesians, chapter 1. I'm going to attempt to read the whole chapter to you, and I promise you we will be out by 2 o'clock. Because the reason I want to read the first chapter of Ephesians is because it includes a multitude of promises that God said he had in line for us. And everything I've done up to now this morning has been to catch your attention that what God says is the way it's going to be. And so as we read this chapter of promise, I want you to say in yourself, that's the way it's going to be. That is for me. That is for mine. That's for us. Amen. God's no respecter of persons. He doesn't do this for the church of Ephesus. And we say, well, I'm not going to do that for the church in Douglas. No. He's going to do it for everybody that believes. Okay, let's start with chapter 1, Ephesians. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints that are in Ephesus and the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Well, why aren't I getting all of my heavenly blessings? If he blessed me with all these spiritual blessings, where are they? Well, they're in heavenly places, and the more heavenly you get, the more you get to enjoy the blessing. Yeah, God's promises are for today, but you can't assimilate them all today. They're bigger than that. And you can only assimilate his promises by faith as you grow in faith. And because they are in heavenly places, you're going to have to get over into the heavenly in your heart, in your mind, and in your soul. Get over into the heavenly to begin assimilating any of the promises. But the more heavenly we get, the better the promises are going to come through. I'm going to try to just keep reading and quit preaching. And just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Everybody say, God's going to do that too. And he has predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Remember we read that in the Old Testament, that he's going to perform the pleasure of his will? Well, he has adopted you as sons in Jesus Christ because it pleasures him. Verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. Who, me? Yeah, me. Who, you? Yeah, you. We are accepted in the beloved. Number 7, in him we have redemption through his blood, and we have the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Oh, but I made a big, big sin. Fooey on big sins. We have redemption and we have forgiveness. God said we have redemption. God said we have forgiveness. God said that. Number 8, which he made to abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence. Ooh, hallelujah. Having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his, there it is again, good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. He's made known to us the mystery of his will. I wonder what that mystery is. Well, he made it known to you. If you haven't read it yet, hang on. This is going to be, I'm going to show you here in verse number 10 what the mystery is. The mystery is that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, he, God, might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. He's going to bring it all together, Reuben. Heaven and earth going to come together. Why do you think Jesus prayed, Lord, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven? He knew what he was praying because he knew his Father wanted to bring them all together. Amen. Where am I? In 11, in him, God, also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. We're predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. You're predestined to fit into the will of God, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now, if it was up to me, I'd seal a few folk, and I wouldn't seal a few folk. And it's a good thing it's not up to me. God knows us, knows our hearts, knows our future, and he has sealed those that are to be in him. Sealed. Sealed by the Holy Spirit. Sealed. Number 14, the Holy Spirit of promise is he who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. If the Holy Spirit guarantees something, it's guaranteed. Number 15, therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and I heard of your love to all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Now here's what he was praying. Number 17, he's praying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now I believe Paul knew the will of God, and I believe that he prayed prayers that get answered. And Jasmine, he's praying for you and I that God would give us the spirit of wisdom, that God would give us the revelation of the knowledge of him. Amen. He's praying that the eyes of our understanding will be enlightened. Now, the eyes of your misunderstanding will not be enlightened. The eyes of your lack of understanding will not be enlightened. He's praying that the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened. If something's not clear, your spiritual eyes aren't really open to something, it just doesn't seem clear, it's because you don't have an understanding of it. Once you catch an understanding of the revelation of God, it becomes clear. I know that's big. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened that you may know what is the hope of his calling. Would you like to know the hope of his calling? And you know what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. God's inheritance for the saints is so big, so unexplainable, so incomprehensible. We cannot begin to see at this point in time in history, at this point in our spiritual walk, we can only catch glimpses of the inheritance he has for us. And it's so far much more than golden streets in heaven. I mean, that's good. I take some of that. But our inheritance is far greater than that. Our inheritance is a relationship with him. Our inheritance is fellowship with the Father, Reuben. All due respect to golden streets, I love them too. But I'd much rather have fellowship with the Father. Are you still there? Number 18, we did that. Number 19, he's praying that what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe? The exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, and it's according to the working of his mighty power. The promises of God are not dependent upon us, they're dependent upon him. He's the one that made the promise, and he's the one that's going to see it through. Number 20, which he worked in Christ. It's all through Christ, brother. He worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him, Christ, at the right hand in heavenly places. See, Jesus the Christ has made the promise is real to us because Jesus' blood paid for the promise. It's all paid for. You don't have to work for the promise. You just receive it. By faith, you receive it. You have to work for the promise. Oh, Lord, please promise me something. He promised you everything, and Jesus paid for it. Just start laying hold. Just start receiving. Now, Jesus is seated at the right hand of heavenly places, far above. How far above? Far above. How far? Far above. You can't get any higher than Jesus. He's far above all. When you're far above all, everything is under you. Huh? Jesus is far above all principality and power and might and dominion. He's far above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Jesus is King of today, and he's King of tomorrow. He's Lord of the day, and he's Lord of tomorrow. Now, this gets rich. I just hope somebody shouts. And God put all things under Jesus' feet and gave Jesus to be the head over all things to the church which is his body. The church which is his body, the church which is the fullness of Jesus who fills all in all. I just shared with you a number of scriptures about God's word. And he says in Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. And it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. I gave you the word of God today, and that word goes forth and finds fulfillment. That word goes forth and finds prosperity. That word goes forth and says, Jasmine, we're going to do this. That word goes forth and says, I'm going to change every life that wants to be changed. Oh, someday if I ever learn to preach like I want to preach, we're going to have a runaway. Now, that's from an old generation, you know. My daddy used to say that. Going to have a runaway. Rod McLean was here, he'd say, it makes you want to have a running fit. Folks, I want you to be like Paul was when he spoke to Timothy in 1:12. I'm persuaded that he's able, I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that I've committed unto him. I'm persuaded that he's able to keep those that I've committed unto him. Please stand to your feet. I want you to pray a little prayer with me. Now, it's little because it's short, not little because it's insignificant. Let's all say it together. Father, you're so awesome. Your word, sir, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Your word, sir, is my life. It is my direction. It is my instruction. It is my hope. It is my future. Your word is my faith. Your word is my love. Your word is my pleasure. Your word is everything to me. I love your word, Lord. I love your word. And I know in my heart that your word's going to find fulfillment and it's going to prosper in everything you've sent it to do. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my being. Your word, sir, is going to prosper because you're the one that sent it. And you cannot fail. You will not fail. Your word won't fall to the ground. Your word will find fulfillment in me and fulfillment in those I love. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, I trust your word. I count on your word. I confide in your word. Lord, thank you for your word. Help me to love it more, to embrace it more, to walk in your word, to speak of your word. Lord, just take your word and consume me. Just consume me, Lord. Just wrap me up with your word. Put it on my inside and wrap me up on the outside. Lord, I love your word. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're so awesome. If there's someone here this morning that your heart longs for more of God, he's here for you this morning. Having God and having more of God are very personal things. I can pray over you. I can anoint you. I can bless you. There's a lot of things we can do together, but when it comes to knowing God or even drawing closer to him, that's between you and him. And if there's just a deep hunger in your heart this morning to know God better, or maybe even know him for the first time, maybe you just haven't really accepted the Lord the way some people have. Well, that's a personal thing, and you can do that right now. In your heart right now, you can just say, Lord, please, I'm ready. I need you. Please, Lord, I'm ready. I lay down my will and I pick up your will. Not my will be done, but your will be done, sir. Lord, let your will be done in my life as it is in heaven. Let your will be done in my earth as it is in heaven. Let your will be done in my family as it is in heaven. Lord, I know your will is always done completely and totally in heaven. And I want everything I am on the earthly plane to come in under that and just begin to receive it. I want everything I am in this earthly plane to just become consumed by the will of God. Lord, I give myself to you. I give my present to you. I give my future to you. And Lord, that past that the devil keeps reminding me of, I give that to you. Lord, I give my whole self to you this morning. Here I am, Lord. Please take me just as I am. Lord, I could clean myself up all day and I wouldn't be clean enough to deserve this. So I'll just let you do the cleaning. Lord, here I am. You cleanse me with your blood. You wash me with your word. Lord, please, sir, I give myself to you. Here I am. Thank you for receiving me as I am. Thank you for finding fulfillment of your word in my life. Thank you, Father, that my future is secure in you. And I trust that in Jesus' precious name. Everybody look up. I told everybody look up and I'm looking down. Beloved, you can trust God. And don't be concerned and worried and full of anxiety over what hasn't happened yet. If he's made you promises, they're going to come to pass. They're going to come to pass. They're going to come to pass. You see, it's not over till God says it's over. It's not done till God says it's done. You're not a winner until God says you're a winner. Yes, we're in life's battle, but we win in the end. The final outcome is God's final word, and his final word is the final outcome. Look at somebody and say, you're a winner. Well, give about 50 people a big hug and a kiss and go put on your tennis shoes and meet us at the park. God bless you richly.